You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Your Name is in the Wind by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
We should live in a way and reflect God in a way that people glorify God, not glorify us. With all of his anointing, with all of his wisdom, we see what Joseph says. When Pharaoh asked Joseph, I hear your name's in the wind, and you can interpret dreams. He said, God can give the answer. God will give the answer. The reason why he was there is because, as we saw, he interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker. I have to go back and remind, have to research again, because I always get the butler and the baker mixed up. Okay. You know, one of them died, one of them got hung, and one of them got his job back. And you don't want to get those mixed up. So Joseph is in prison because Mrs. Potiphar lied on him, and Mr. Potiphar didn't believe her that Joseph tried to rape her. Okay, that's why he's in prison. If Potiphar believed that Joseph tried to rape his wife, he was a slave, he would be dead. He knew she was a lying woman. He would have killed him. So he puts him in prison. But even in prison, everywhere Joseph went, the Lord was with Joseph. And everywhere he went, he represented God. And Potiphar saw that the Spirit of the Lord was on Joseph. Potiphar saw that God was with him. He gets down in prison, and the people see that God is with him. Ends up becoming warden in the prison. And then when these two men, the baker and the butler, had these dreams, because Pharaoh had gotten offended with them and put them in prison, they both had dreams, and they come to Joseph, and they said, well, Joseph saw they were sad. He said, what you sad about? They said, because we had a dream, and we don't know what it means. Nobody can interpret. And the first thing Joseph says is, well, can God interpret dreams? Now, we know that's not how we would say that today. We would say, I can interpret that dream. And the first thing Joseph said, God can interpret dreams. Can I tell you, when you will recognize that whatever you do, God will do it through you, you can do more. Because God will put our name in the wind if we represent him well. That's why Peter reminds the church, 1 Peter 2:9, he said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are saved to represent him. Whether that's on a campus, whether that's in the courtroom, whether that's in the medical profession, whether that's on a stage, whether that's behind the scenes somewhere, whether that's in a corporate boardroom, whether that's in a cubicle, every Christian got to remember that I'm here to represent him. We don't just represent God when we're standing at the door of the church as an usher. Come on now. We're not just representing God when you're standing on a platform on the praise and worship team. We're not just representing God when we're standing on a platform to preach the word behind a pulpit. Everywhere we go, we got to remember we're representing God. And after becoming bishop, you know, I wear my civic attire more. And every time I put my one of my clergy shirts on, Pastor Marshall, mommy, she said, now don't forget you got that on. We stopped by a hotel, going to a restaurant. She said, now, if the service ain't good, don't forget. because don't forget who you're representing. Amen. Come on, you shouldn't have to wear a collar to know that you represent God. You shouldn't be, if I didn't have this collar on, I'll cuss you out. No, I can't cuss you out, period. Everywhere I go, I represent God. Are y'all listening to me? No, I'm very serious. I think we as Christians, we got to be more mindful of that. A lot of these questions we're asking, well, is anything wrong with this? Anything wrong with that? Can you do this and still be saved? Nobody should have to go around answering all those questions for you. The question is, does that adequately represent him? Is it a good reflection on him? Since that's why we're here. We're supposed to show forth the praise of him. And when you are representing him, he will put your name in the wind. The Message translation of that verse from 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, it says you are the chosen ones by God. Chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him. To tell others of the night and day difference he's made for you from nothing to something. From rejected to accepted. Isn't that good, y'all? That's why we're here. We're here to tell others and show others the night and day difference that Jesus made in our life. And you should be glad he made a difference in your life. Reason why I'm saying that, because it's like some folks, they want to almost like wear their pre-salvation life like a trophy. You know, the people go around saying, I'm telling you something. You know, I ain't always been saved. Back in the day, man, well, you've been delivered. Why are you bragging about that so much? Back in the day, are you glad you're saved? Let people see. There's a night and day difference. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, it says we are ambassadors for Christ. That means, another translation, we're God's special representatives. Ambassadors for Christ. Now, some of us are too young. Well, we can most remember, especially in South Carolina, our former governor, Nikki Haley, was ambassador to the UN, to the United Nations. Okay? Well, back in the day, Andrew Young had that same position. I mean, y'all knew that. Andrew Young became the first African-American to become an ambassador to the UN. And at that point, it was the highest governmental role ever held by an African-American. Unfortunately, Andrew Young, and that was under the Carter administration. Unfortunately, Andrew Young got fired. Now, we all know in politics you don't get fired. Well, yeah, this president fires people. Everybody else in every other administration, they resigned. But this one let you know, I fired him. But in prior administrations, the word that got out was they resigned. Well, Andrew Young resigned because when he was speaking at the UN, he gave his opinion versus the opinion of the United States government. He said what he wanted to do versus what President Carter wanted to be done. Are y'all listening to me? And that wasn't his job. The job of the ambassador is to represent the one who sent you. The job of the ambassador is to speak on behalf of the nation that you represent. You need to understand, we represent the kingdom of God. We represent the kingdom of God. Well, what's your opinion about that? Well, in the kingdom, the word says such and such. Well, what do you think about homosexuality? Well, in the kingdom, God says. Y'all aren't. Well, what do you think about premarital sex and shacking and cohabitation? Well, it really don't matter what I think. Come on now. I'm telling you, when you learn to represent him, and you can, and we need to unashamedly represent what the word of God says, and by declaring the word of God, because that is the kingdom's position on everything. A lot of stuff we don't have to get into arguments about. Just say what the word says. Just say what the kingdom says, because we're not here to represent ourselves. And people, there's so much conflict about what do we address, what do we not address. Listen, as kingdom people, we're supposed to stand for what the kingdom stands for. The third thing, if God's going to put your name in the wind, you can't take his glory. You can't take his glory. Notice what I kept saying about Joseph. Joseph's promoted, but he tells them in the prison, When he said about interpret dreams, he said God interprets dreams. When Pharaoh says, I hear that you can interpret dreams, he said God will give you an answer. And the reason why God could keep promoting Joseph, because everywhere he went, he represented God. One of the first times in scripture that we see the word sin is by Joseph. Some people misunderstood the scripture and say stuff like, well, there was no sin until Moses, because the New Testament says without the law, there is no sin. Well, that's written commandments. That's talking about the bulls and the requirements of what God required under Levitical law. But there was always moral law. There was always the law of God. And so long before Moses said, that Moses got the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. When Mrs. Potiphar came trying to tempt him, talking about, lie with me. Lie with me. When she came saying that, and the Bible does not say that she wasn't his type. He didn't say, you too skinny and I like a little more, you know, a little more hips. He didn't say, no, you too big and I like him a little thinner. The only thing the Bible says, he said, I cannot commit this wickedness and sin against God. Watch this, even if you are my type. Most likely, she was exactly like he liked it. Well, where you get that from? Most likely, she was exactly like he liked it. Because the devil ain't going to try to tempt you with nothing you don't like. If you don't like it, it ain't temptation. It's just crazy. Devil can't tell you, try to tempt you, you're crazy. But when it's temptation, he cut out of our shot. The devil is a liar. But he said, I can't commit this wickedness and sin against God. Watch this. It is possible, not highly probable, but it's possible he could have went on and had an affair with Mrs. Potiphar and nobody would ever know about it. Maybe a husband wouldn't have found out. Maybe nobody else in the house would have found out. Maybe because his position, nobody would have said anything. But he understood, if nobody else knows, God still knows. Can I tell you, when you fear God, you always are conscious. If nobody else knows, God knows. That's what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is a God consciousness that supersedes man's consciousness. And Joseph was determined to give God glory through everything that he did. Isaiah 48, 9 and 10. God lets us know that he wants his glory. Isaiah 48, verse 9, it says, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger. And for my praise, another way to say my glory, will I refrain for thee that I cut thee not off. God said, I want glory. That's the only reason why I'm not, he's telling this situation, that's why I'm not wiping the people out. Remember, God, Moses had to remind God of that. When they came out of Egypt and God told them to go up and they wouldn't go up and they said, we're not going to go up. And God tells Moses, he said, Moses, step aside. I'm just going to wipe these people out. I'm going to raise up a new nation with you. I've done it before. I raise up this one from a man named Abraham. I'll raise up the Mosaites. I'll start something new with you. And Moses said, God, all of God, chill out. Don't be so fast, so hasty. He said, now, if you kill them now, then you're not going to get any glory. Because Pharaoh and the Egyptians are going to say, yeah, he brought them out there in the wilderness to kill them. And so God now is conscious that if he does this, he's not going to get glory. Look what he says in Isaiah 48 and verse 11. For my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? God said, I don't want you polluting my name when you're representing me. And I will not give my glory unto another. God will fight you for his glory. God will wrestle with you for his glory. I'm not, no. I will not give my glory to another. You can try to talk about yourself and talk about all of your ability, all your skills. He said, God said, but at the end of the day, I'm going to win because I will fight you for my glory and I will not give my glory to another. Whenever I hear people, their head get too big and they talk too much about themselves, I realize they're starting to fight with God because he will not give his glory to another. Nebuchadnezzar walks out one day and said, look at my kingdom. Look what I have built. Look at all that I have done. And God said, right now, the kingdom is departed from you. And he allowed him to go crazy and live with the beast of the field. Why? Because he won't give his glory to another. But if you will give God the glory, if you recognize, as Paul said, it's in him that I live, that I move, that I have my being, that from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised, that you are the air I breathe, that the breath in my lungs come from you, that it's you that give me power to get well. You've given me the activities of my limb. The reason why I was able to walk in here today is because you're a good God. The reason why I even know my name is because you're a good God. The reason why I was able to comb my hair and wash myself is because you are a good God. You deserve all the glory, and you deserve glory whether I feel like it or not. You deserve glory whether anything else is going good or not, because you're a good God and you're good all the time. You alone get the glory. God loves to promote people who are going to give him glory. He'll put people's name in the wind if they're going to give him glory. Hallelujah. God raised up Moses as a mighty deliverer and yet didn't allow him to go into the promised land, into the land that he took the children of Israel from Egypt through the Red Sea, through the wilderness to go into, that he was leading others to go to. But God didn't allow him to go in because Moses, ultimately because of one thing, Moses robbed God of his glory. Moses robbed God of his glory. Well, how did he do that? Numbers 20, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. Let me give you the background. God tells Moses the people need water. God says, speak to the rock and water will come out. Numbers 20 and 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, who he told to speak to the rock. Instead, he got mad at the folks and hit the rock. And so now people say, man, he sure is strong. He's so mad, he could break a rock and make water come out of it. That wasn't the plan. He said, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. Moses, you made that about you. That wasn't about you. That's about me. Now they're talking about how mad you are instead of how loving I am. You diverted it. Oh my goodness. You diverted the attention away from me and you put it on yourself. And I wanted glory in that situation. I wanted them to talk about, look, what a great God we serve, that he gave us water out the rock. Instead, they're talking about, man, Moses sure is mad. And when he gets mad, he gets strong and break rocks. I said, it wasn't about you, Moses. You robbed me of my glory in that situation. Oh, my God. How many situations have we robbed God of his glory in? Are you robbing God of your glory in that degree that you knew it was a favor of God for you to get? Because you really ain't that smart. Are you robbing God of his glory regarding that promotion because you realize it was the favor of God that got you in a position even though you couldn't pass the test for the promotion? Are you right? We got a young lady in our church who just got a great state job with wonderful state benefits and all that. And she came walking up here the other day with her uniform. I said, you better go ahead with your state uniform on, girl. But she had a record in her past. But it took the favor of God to get her the job despite the record. It was a hookup. Y'all ain't hear me here. What happened was God put her name in the wind. That's why she got that job. And if she don't continue to give God glory for that, she will be robbing God of his glory. God has put names in the wind in this season. So you got to do a couple things. You got to be prepared. Look at your name and say, be prepared. I used to be a Boy Scout back in the day. I didn't learn a whole lot, but I didn't have a whole lot of those badges because you had to work to get those badges. You know? And we're justified by faith, not works. So I didn't get a whole bunch of those badges. Works. By works, still no man be justified. But I remember that our Boy Scout motto was be prepared. The whole purpose of Boy Scout is to prepare boys to be men. Prepare boys to be able to survive in the wilderness. Prepare boys to be fathers and leaders and all that. The whole concept of Boy Scout was to be prepared. Now they're making the Boy Scout take girls in. And I ain't going to get into all that. And the Girl Scouts is suing the Boy Scouts now. Strife. But you need to be prepared. My son, Daniel, who's a professional basketball player, he said this, and it stuck with me. Maybe it's a common statement, but it struck me when he said it to me several years ago. He said, you don't have to, he said, you don't have to get ready. You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Look at him and say, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. You need to stay ready. You have to, because you don't know when God's going to have the person who's heard your name in the wind call for you. You got to stay ready. You got to stay prepared. As I was coming along as a young minister, you know, we use scriptures all out of context, but whatever work. Okay. And so, you know, when I come along, Mr. Bailey, we come to church on Friday night, and you just might be preaching that night. When I was in Oklahoma, we had several ministers, and we had Sunday night service, and the pastor would take straws, and he would take a red marker, and he marked one of the straws with a red marker, and he put it in his hand like this, and we pulled straws. And whoever got the red mark, remember that, honey? Whoever got the red mark, you were preaching that night. Look at your neighbor and say, you better be ready. And you know, wait a minute, I need my concordance. I got to go pray. No, when we came to church, we understood you had to be ready. We thought we had scripture for it. It said you got to be ready in season, out of season. And for you know not the day, nor the hour. And in that self same hour, he'll give you what to say. We had scripture for this. All that's talking about when Jesus come back and the tribulation period and all that. But we applied that to being ready to preach. So we understood you need to be prepared. You need to be ready. Prepare yourself, listen, first of all, by staying in expectation and maintaining your confidence. Stay in expectation and maintain your confidence. Somebody say, any minute now. I believe a promotion can come any minute now. I believe the call can come any minute now. I believe the next level can shift any minute now. I believe your healing can break forth any minute now. I think a call can come any minute now. You got to stay in expectation. When I got the revelation several years ago about money cometh, man, and money's looking for me. Now, we say those things, but man, I didn't know where I was. I used to walk the streets like this. Everywhere I went. Somebody sent me a praise report this week. One of the young people, one of the young adults, and she said, Pastor, you've been speaking random money and random blessings. Said, I found $20 in the supermarket. Before I could rejoice with it, I got ready to say, which supermarket? Which one? What time, which where? That may be my $20. Oh God. But I was staying in expectation. They start when we got that revelation, they told us, they said, stop calling your mailbox. Call your mailbox your what? Your money box. So now, you're almost standing waiting for the mailman. the way they used to do when I was in project the day the welfare check came. Stand there waiting for them. Because you don't, today a check might be coming. Y'all hear me? When you are in expectation, you know, at any time, at any moment, God can bless me.
Are you ready to have kingdom impact? Get ready to walk in a new level of authority with these powerful messages from Bishop Herbert Bailey, Dr. Marcia Bailey, and guest speakers, Dr. Bill Winston, Pastor Michael Todd, and Pastor Mark Baker. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for the Direction for Life Conference, Kingdom Impact. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.